Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 3, The Birth of Lord Krishna, Text Number 22. I am tu sabhyas tava janmano grihe shudvagra idram state nyavadit sareshvaraha sate vataram purushai samarpitam shudva dunaiva bisarat yuda yuda. Translation purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he'll immediately come with weapons to kill you. Please repeat. O my Lord. Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that you would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kamsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. Kamsa has here been described as asabhya, meaning uncivilized or most heinous, because he killed many children of his sister. When he heard the prophecy that he would be killed by her eighth son, this uncivilized man, Kamsa, was immediately ready to kill his innocent sister on the occasion of her marriage. An uncivilized man could do anything for the satisfaction of his senses. He can kill children. He can kill cows. He can kill brahmanas. He can kill old men. He has no mercy for anyone. According to the Vedic civilization, cows, women, children, old men, and brahmanas should be excused if they are at fault. But asuras, uncivilized men, do not care about that. At the present moment, the killing of cows and the killing of children is going on unrestrictedly, and therefore this civilization is not at all human. And those who are conducting this condemned civilization are uncivilized asuras. Your bees are up there. Such uncivilized men are not in favor of the Krishna consciousness movement. As public offices, they declare without hesitation that the chanting of the Hare Krishna movement is a nuisance. Although Bhagavad Gita clearly says, Satatam kirtayanto mam yatantas cha dridavrataha. According to this view, it is the duty of the Mahatmas to chant the Hare Krishna mantra and try to spread it all over the world to the best of their ability. Unfortunately, society is in such an uncivilized state that there are so-called Mahatmas who are prepared to kill cows and children and stop the Hare Krishna movement. Such uncivilized activities were actually demonstrated in opposition to the Hare Krishna movement's Bombay Center, Hare Krishna Land. As Kamsa was not expected to kill the beautiful child of Devaki and Vasudev, the uncivilized society, although unhappy about the advancement of the Krishna consciousness movement, cannot be expected to stop it. Yet we must face many difficulties in many different ways. Although Krishna cannot be killed, Vasudev is the father of Krishna, was trembling because in affection he thought that Kamsa would immediately come and kill his son. Similarly, although the Krishna consciousness movement and Krishna are not different, and no asuras can check it, we are afraid that at any moment the asuras can stop this movement in any part of the world. I am tvasavas tava janmano grihe shudvagrajams te nyavadit sareshvara sate vataram purushai samarpitam shudva dunaiva bisarat yadu Yuda, Yuda. O my Lord, Lord of the demigods, after hearing the prophecy that we would take birth in our home and kill him, this uncivilized Kangsa killed so many of your elder brothers. As soon as he hears from his lieutenants that you have appeared, he will immediately come with weapons to kill you. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pristaya Bhute Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swami Tanamane Namaste Sarasatundeve Gauravani Vajarne Nirvishesha Srinivadi Paschatya De Sadarne. There are two paths of life. One is the path of sense gratification, sometimes it's called Pravritti Marg, and the other is Nivritti Marg, the path of trying to get free from our material conception of life. Those who are on the path of, actually, it's not even Pravritti Marg, it's more V-karma, or sinful activities, they'll act in any unrestricted way. Or as Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, achintyam aparayam cha pralayantam upashitya kama papoga paramam etavam iti nischitya asya pasya shuterabhada kama krodha parayana ihanti kama bhogartam anyayanartha sanjaya. They believe that to gratify the senses unto the end of life, that's the prime necessity of human civilization. And therefore there can be no measurement for their anxiety. Being bound by hundreds and thousands of desires, by lust and anger, they secure money by illegal means for sense gratification. This illegal means doesn't mean that they break the modern law. It means that they violate the laws of the universe in order to enjoy happiness, so-called happiness, which comes from sense gratification. Unfortunately, in modern society, they're advertising to increase your sense gratification, although it's not really helping society. Just like a fisherman, he takes his rod and reel, and his bait and tackle, and he goes to the ocean, and he puts on the tackle, he puts some bait, and dangles it in the water. Come and enjoy, to the fish, advertising. Naturally, the fish are not very intelligent. They haven't attended Bhagavatam class. They don't know what's going to happen to them. So they grab hold of the bait, but lo and behold, the bait is on a hook, and they get hooked. And then the fisherman reels them up, cuts them apart, throws them into the frying pan. So he thought, the fish, I'm going to enjoy, but he winds up fried. Similarly, in modern society, they're advertising in so many different ways, come and enjoy, come and enjoy. Especially in modern society, illicit sex and intoxication, gambling, meat eating are quite prominent. And they're advertising, do this and you'll enjoy. But actually, people just wind up fried. Yehi samsparsha bhoga. Dukayone evate adyantavanta kontiya nateshu ramate buddha. That an intelligent person, he doesn't take part in the sources of misery, which are coming from the contact with the senses with their objects. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise person doesn't delight in them. Actually, there is no happiness, even in sense gratification. Sense gratification simply means the absence of the misery caused by the desire to enjoy the senses. Just like, one time, Shruti Kirti, he went to Prabhupada right after he got married and said, Prabhupada, now I can't travel you because I'm married, I feel so bad. So Prabhupada said, it is just like before the feast you're thinking, oh, I'll be so happy, I'll enjoy. And then after the feast, you think, oh, I ate too much. If only I didn't eat so much. So material life is like that. We're thinking, if I simply gratify my senses, we'll enjoy. And then afterwards, we suffer, thinking, oh, I shouldn't have gratified my senses like that. Now I'm suffering. So that's called illusion. Illusion means, if I gratify the desire, then my suffering will end. So that actually is not happiness. It's simply the ending of suffering. Just like my hand, we don't generally go around crying out in the middle of the street, "I feel so great because my hand is not broken. It feels so good." But if we break our hand, we're in such misery, then someone gives us a painkiller and etc., and we think, "Oh, I feel so good, because now I'm not in misery anymore." Similarly, now we're in misery, and when we get free from a little bit of our misery, we call that happiness. Modern society means to increase people's misery and give them some opportunity to free themselves from it simultaneously. That's called advertisement. Come and enjoy, get this and you'll be happy. Actually, we're creating within you a desire to get it, making you miserable that you don't have it, pointing out how many happy people have it except for you. And then you become so much in anxiety, you work like a dog, by hook or crook, you get the money and you buy it, and then you're satisfied that I'm not miserable anymore because I don't have it. And then you realize after some time, it's not really what I want, and then you want something else. So you're miserable again, you lament that I have this thing rather than something else. So material life simply means hankering for something you don't have, feeling miserable that you don't have it, and then after you get it, either you lose it and then you lament even more that you lost it, or you lament that you got it in the first place. So this is called illusion. And modern society has become so expert at illusion that it's come to the point of killing children and killing animals such as the cow. This is because the mode of ignorance is increasing. If we don't develop upwards, then we go downwards. Upward means to, as Krishna says, yadagre chanubandha, yataragre, yadagre chanubandha. Yadagre visham eva paramami ritopamam. Tatsukam satikam prottam atmabuddhi prasadajam. That which in the beginning may be bitter like poison and at the end is just like nectar, and which is born of that which in the beginning may be bitter like poison and at the end is like nectar and awakens one to self-realization is said to be happiness in the mode of goodness. In other words, by following a certain procedure of controlling the senses, then at the beginning it may be very bitter. So we think, oh, this process is not very good because I feel very bitter. And after all, I've come here to enjoy happiness, but now I feel bitter. So there's something wrong with the process. It's not giving me happiness, it's giving me suffering. So why should I follow this process that's giving me suffering? Of course, if one follows the process properly, in the right way, with the proper understanding, then one will be able to tolerate the suffering, the immediate suffering. That's called prayas and shreyas. The society, modern society, has been trained up simply in prayas, the immediate gratification of the senses. That if we can't gratify the senses immediately, we become very disturbed. Everything has to be there immediate. We feel some pain, we have to take a pill. Immediately cure the pain. Should be no suffering. Never mind, you take one pill to cure one cause of suffering, you read the label, you know, your eyes will go, you know, you'll go blind, your liver will fall out, your teeth will turn blue. Never mind, but at least my headache went away for 15 minutes. So even if we're in the bodily concept of life, then this is not the proper civilization to follow. Even one believes I am the body, but why should we destroy the body in the name of so-called happiness? If I am the body, then I should take care of the body properly. Modern civilization has become so bewildered that it can't, so much in the mode of ignorance, that even its endeavor to take care of the body has resulted in destroying the body. Just like in order to have a nice, happy situation, They've created so many factories in order to provide us with all the means to becoming happy and satisfied in this life. Even if we assume that there's only one life. But they've contaminated the air, they've polluted the water, they've destroyed the food, they've put so much noise into the environment that people can't even, in the so-called attempt to become happy here, they're becoming miserable. Just like the person who's on the tree trying to cut the branch off the tree, but he's on the branch, he's on the side of the branch that he's cutting. So by the time he's done cutting the branch off, he's going to fall down along with the branch. So this is certainly ignorance. Krishna says, karmana sukritasyahu satvikam nirmalam palam rajasastu palam dukam agana tamasa palam satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lova evacha pramado moha tamaso bhavato jnanam evacha. That from, if we work with knowledge in the mode of goodness means to understand things properly. That's why we have classes, we try and study these books, to see things properly. Then when we see things properly, then we should act in such a way as to purify ourselves of this material misconceptions. We should purify ourselves of the spiritual conception of life. But if we don't see things properly, we think, yes, let me gratify my senses, then the result will be greed. We'll simply be greedy. Because even if we can gratify our senses, we get something nice. There's a nice sweet ball on Sunday, and we like it. Oh, this tastes really good. And our only anxiety is that we get enough of them. We think we can get all, we check, make sure there's enough sweet balls, so if I want to eat 100, I can. Then we feel good. Then we start eating 100. And by the time we're done, we're miserable. We satisfied our greed, but the result is misery. Oh, I feel so bad. Now I won't be able to eat tomorrow. So that's called greed. That's the mode of passion. And the result is madness, illusion, karmana, Satvam sanjayate jnanam rajaso lova evacha pramado, madness, pramado, moha, illusion, and foolishness. And what is the result of acting in madness and ignorance, illusion, foolishness? You become completely crazy. So this is the way modern society is heading, to become completely mad. Mad means, you know, to become happy, you take a rope and you throw yourself off a building. That's your happiness. Bungee jumping. Or you take a pearl and you put it through your tongue to make your tongue look nice. Or your ear, or your eyebrows, or your lips, or whatever. So they become more and more crazy, to the point that they're killing their own children. The highest emotion, Prabhupada said, in the material world, is that the affection between the mother and the child. But instead of developing that affection, they're killing their own children, and they're declaring that the cow, which is giving milk, is food. It's our mother. I mean, the time will come when people eat their own mother, because they're already eating their own mother, the cow. It's giving milk when you're a little child, supporting you, and to show your appreciation when you grow up, you slaughter it and eat it. So this is certainly a very ignorance. And the result of such ignorance is that people become more ignorant. As when you eat milk, eat the cow instead of drinking the milk, then instead of developing higher consciousness, you develop lower consciousness. And then there's no end to the amount of demoniac things that you can do. So now they're killing the cows, now they're killing their children. And the next thing is Brahmins and old men, just like in less advanced civilizations, they have, Prabhupada said, the grandfather feast. When the grandfather gets old, they take him up to the roof of the house and they roll him off the house. And if he survives, they take him up again and roll him off again. Until finally he dies and they have a feast in honor of the grandfather. And he's the main preparation. And especially they like, Prabhupada said, to eat his brains, because they think, oh, he's very wise. So if we eat his brains, then we'll become very intelligent too. So that's the grandfather. Then there is the women. They'll think, oh, women, they don't do so much. Maybe, you know, instead of having them cook, we'll cook them. And brahmanas. At the end of Kali Yuga, especially, the devotees will be sought after, but not for their wisdom, but to eat them. The little people who are left, they'll come, you know, they'll, when they see a devotee, they'll light up and they'll run after him. And the devotee will run the other way. So these times are coming. As the mode of ignorance increases, so will the degradation increase. What was considered completely abominable 50 years ago is considered completely natural now. That the industry that's growing the fastest in the world, or at least, which is equal to all the other types of industry, entertainment industry, all the football games and all the different types of movies, is pornography. They're selling more than everyone else. So, and what to speak of gambling? Gambling, I can't imagine how much is increased. My mother lives in Las Vegas, and I go there. It's just amazing how many hundreds and hundreds of casinos they have, which are huge. They're bigger than any temple that's ever been created. And that each one of them, there are hundreds of them, they have rooms for 10,000 people. And then inside the casino, they have zoos and they have steeplechase, they have these rides in it, Ferris wheels and all kinds of things, botanical gardens. And there's thousands and thousands, millions of people, they go there every day and they throw their money away. They work so hard for it, but because they're in the mode of ignorance, they just throw it away. And they think they're having a great time. And every intoxication, now it's completely normal. I don't know, I remember distributing books downtown Melbourne, and every day the same people would come up telling us that they need a couple of dollars because they locked themselves out of the car. The same junkie would come up every day. And the police would harass the devotees at that time, you know, you can't be here. But they never harassed the people who were selling drugs downtown. That it was cheaper to buy heroin than it was to buy marijuana. Or cigarettes, actually. That's what their line was. They had their lines, we had our lines. Their lines are, don't waste your money on cigarettes, it's too expensive. Buy this heroin, it's cheap. And illicit sex, intoxication, meat eating, that, of course, I think maybe the Hare Krishna restaurants made a little dent in the meat eating, but I'm sure it hasn't stopped. Now, they're putting meat in the vegetables. By their intelligent endeavor, by genetic engineering, now you can eat a carrot, which has a percentage of pig in it. It has pig genes in it. So, modern civilizations developing more and more so-called intelligence, how to gratify the senses and the mode of ignorance, and the result is more and more degradation to the point where people will not be able to understand at all what is the purpose of life and how to achieve it. And at that time, Kalki comes. Luckily, it's another 427,000 years. So something's probably going to happen before that. In any case, the leaders of present society, they have no idea who they are, what the purpose of life is, nor are their followers. The only persons in this world who know anything about reality are the members of the Hare Krishna movement, practically speaking. And so we have to get our act together a little bit. If we're supposed to save the world, I guess, first of all, we've got to save ourselves. Although we have the most exalted philosophy and knowledge, but it actually entails some responsibility to actually follow the principles. Not that I have such exalted knowledge and philosophy that I can hit everyone over the head with it and feel good about it. Though we first, it's a responsibility to follow it to the best of our capacity and not to become tricked by Maya, that now I have great philosophy, now I know everything, so now I can do anything and I won't get caught up by Maya. No, if we have the knowledge and we don't follow it, then Maya will deal with us even more strictly than if we didn't have any knowledge whatsoever, if we were innocent. Therefore, it's a great responsibility to try to protect and carry on the Hare Krishna movement, especially by preaching. Doesn't require a great philosopher to preach. We're not trying to tell people about the intricacies of, at least not in the beginning, of Sattvika Bhava and Vyabhichari Bhava, Stayi Bhava and Vibhava, Sanchari Bhava. We're not trying to tell people the intricacies of the science. We're trying to convince people that they're not their body to begin with. That gratifying the senses won't lead them to the highest platform of existence. It's simply the same thing over and over again. Although Maya is telling us the same thing, and it's the same result we get, still we're being fooled because we have no alternative. So the Hare Krishna movement is supposed to give people the philosophy that you're not your body and you have an alternative. Rather than to serve the senses endlessly, you can do something superior like chant Hare Krishna. So unless we learn how to chant Hare Krishna and get the benefit of doing it, unless we get a higher taste by chanting Hare Krishna, we won't be very enthusiastic to tell others to do it also. Because they think, oh, you'll chant Hare Krishna like me. Great philosophy. We'll all chant Shnik, Shnik, Ram, Ram, Day, 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 Hey, Kitty, Kitty, Hey, Kitty, Kitty. And you'll get the same result as me. You'll increase your bile secretion, and you'll eat more prasad. But you won't realize anything superior to simply chanting ordinary sound vibrations. So we ourselves have to chant in such a way is that we remember Krishna. We get Krishna's association. We enter into a spiritual atmosphere. We get spiritual experience. And then we'll see that by such an experience that I develop a detachment from things that draw my mind away from Krishna. I'm able to see everyone and everything as it's related to Krishna, and I get growing love and appreciation for the process. It gives me a higher and higher taste. Then we'll see that as a solution to the misdirected world. We'll see it as a solution to the false propaganda that to gratify the senses endlessly will produce happiness. Because we'll have a process which will bring us away from unrestricted sense gratification to where we can get happiness simply by following the process of devotional service. Then we can convincingly preach and convince others to follow it also. But if we don't know the process and we convince others to follow it and we can't explain to them how to follow it in such a way as to get a higher taste, then we'll get a lot of false Hare Krishnas. Everyone's chanting Hare Krishna and no one's getting the benefit. So we have to know the science. We have to become convinced of what's the difference between prasad and regular food, that ultimately that there is a Krishna and that service to Krishna will give a higher experience than service to the gross and subtle senses. The senses will not stop immediately dictating to us, but unless we make a concerted effort to actually forget about them, become aloof from them, and engage in Krishna service instead, in a higher state of consciousness, then we'll simply externally follow the process But unless we get the higher taste, we won't go beyond simply changing our dress and our address. We can change our dress and our address, but that doesn't mean that we've developed a higher consciousness just by doing that, a higher awareness, a higher experience. So that we have to learn how to do. Then if we do that, then no one can stop the advancement of the Hare Krishna movement. But if we remain on a superficial level, any impediment we find ourselves in the material world will think, oh, this is too much, it's too much of a sacrifice, and how can I carry on this process of Krishna consciousness? It's too much. Then, although modern civilization certainly can't appreciate, at least many parts of this modern civilization, I'm sure the people who head up the tobacco industry or the liquor business or the cow slaughter business, whatever, I'm sure they're not rooting on the Hare Krishna movement, the majority of them, wondering when will the Hare Krishna movement succeed. Because if we succeed, then they don't succeed. So it is not that we can expect that everyone's going to love the Hare Krishna movement and we should always do everything so that everyone loves us. We can think like that. Of course, we shouldn't do things so that everyone hates us. We develop the other mentality. We don't care what people think. We're just going to do whatever we want to do because we're Hare Krishnas, and Hare Krishnas, our father owns everything, so we're going to run over everyone. No, there's certain persons that we're trying to, who are innocent, we're trying to attract. And there are other persons, other groups of persons, who will never love the advancement of the Hare Krishna movement. Because that means that their sinful activities will be curtailed. And they're dedicated to sinful activities. They're making a business out of it. They're making a profit out of it. So they'll be very disturbed the more the Hare Krishna movement advances. So we can't expect to please everyone. But at least we should follow the instructions of the previous acharyas, try to please them, and that way do benefit to everyone, and especially those persons who are, since innocent, they'll be benefited and they'll be able to make some advancement towards the goal of life. Otherwise, if the Hare Krishna movement is not successful, then there will be a lot more frogs in Australia. A lot more lower species of life. The human life, instead of an opportunity to go back to the spiritual world, will be an opportunity to become a grasshopper in Australia. So, thank you. Any questions? Yes.
Maharaj, you briefly mentioned that between now and the end of Kali Yuga, when the help comes, that other things may happen.
That's us. That's supposed to be us.
Yes.
Yes. We're supposed to become Krishna conscious and save the world, at least some part of the world. That's what this Hare Krishna movement is supposed to be. Because we may read these books and we think, oh, we're another sect, small sect. We have our, just like there's so many churches and there's so many political parties, and we're just another competing party. But actually, we're not just another competing party. We are the party that, not based upon our glorious position or activities, but because Krishna is God and these are his instructions, and we follow him, then he'll make sure that this movement is victorious. Yatra yogeshwara krishna yatra partha dunardara tatra shir vijayo bhutira dhruva nitya matira mama. That wherever there is Krishna, the master of all mystics, and Arjuna, the supreme archer, there will simply certainly be victory, morality, what else?
And
opulence. Tatra shir vijayo bhutira dhruva nitya matira mama. That was Sanjaya's opinion. So if we follow Krishna's instructions, we become Krishna's instrument, then Krishna will save the world and we'll be saved by becoming Krishna's instrument. And if we think this is just another little sect, we're some kind of Hindu sect from India, and we're here because we like the food or the music's good, then we won't go very far. And neither will be an adequate instrument to save anyone else, but if we're not a good instrument to save others, we won't be saved either. By saving others, we're actually saving ourselves. We're not saving anyone, actually. Krishna is using us as an instrument. He's not even using us. We're just agreeing that Krishna can utilize his body, his mind, his intelligence, and do what he wants to do. And we won't interfere, that's all. We're just agreeing with what Krishna wants. Then if we don't get in the way, then we'll be saved, and then Krishna will save others. Is that clear?
Yes,
thank you. Yes.
Srila Prabhupada says in the book how although Krishna can't be killed, Vasudeva is still worried about him, and has somehow we were concerned about Krishna consciousness.
Well, Prabhupada said he was concerned. Well, we can see that apparently we're supposed to have such a big mission, saving the world, and we're just wondering, you know, how much we can actually keep ourselves together, what to speak of anything else. So we're worried about whether this Hare Krishna movement is going to save the world. Actually, Krishna will save the world somehow or another through this movement, some movement he's created, especially this movement. But we have to worry more about ourselves, that we stay in the movement. And the only way we can stay in the movement is we make some spiritual advancement, that we actually get a higher taste and the movement has some meaning to us. Then we'll stay in the movement, in thick or thin. If we actually experience in any circumstance that we're developing a higher consciousness, a higher state of awareness, then we'll stay, because it doesn't really matter if things are going good or bad. And then when things go really good, we won't get bewildered by it, thinking, now I've become, you know, I'm in the biggest movement, I'm the most big person, I've been here for so long, and et cetera, et cetera. We'll realize that this is Krishna's doing it. And when the movement's attacked or whatever, there's some problem in the movement, we'll understand that Krishna is also, he's doing things in such a way as to purify the society. So we become more eligible, so that when the society does become successful, we'll become successful in a real Krishna conscious way. Otherwise, Prabhupada said Krishna could give us billions and trillions of dollars. But what would we do with it? We'd simply make a mess out of everything in the name of Krishna consciousness. We wouldn't know how to utilize it. So Krishna, he has a way of dealing with even this movement to purify it and progress it. First he has to purify it, and then it can actually make some real progress. So purification, we have our realm of influence, we have our realm of concern. So we may have a concern that the whole movement becomes purified, but the best way of purifying the movement is to start with ourselves, because that's our real realm of influence. So we should work mostly within our realm of influence by following the process ourselves the best we can, and then at least that part of the movement will become purified, namely ourselves. So to get too worried about everything, to become the savior of the whole world, or even the savior of the Hare Krishna movement, or the savior of the Melbourne temple, it's not a very good idea, because we're very tiny and we can't do very much. Ultimately, it's the super soul who's going to save the world. And if we dovetail our desires with the super soul within our heart, at least he'll be able to save us. And by taking control of our activities, he'll be able to do something meaningful for others too. Anything else? Yes.
Guruji, if we ourselves are not strong enough and convinced, we feel that, should we really get involved in preaching?
Well, if we're convinced like that, then definitely we have to get involved in preaching. Otherwise, how are we going to become strong and convinced?
Like, if we ourselves are feeling not very convinced.
Well, how are you going to become convinced unless you test whatever little conviction you have You have to test it. And when you see that the little conviction that you have works, then you'll get more convinced. Otherwise, how do we become convinced? It's not by practical experience. We can get some realization by hearing the philosophy, but the actual experience comes when we apply it. So if you only have a little understanding, then we apply whatever little we have, then we'll get some realization, then we'll want to get some more understanding. We weren't born convinced. We were born in Maya. Therefore, we have to follow the process. Part of the process is hearing, but the other part is chanting. Unless we chant, we put into practice what we've heard, we won't realize it. It won't come up to the platform of experience. Now, how much we preach, that may be, or how we preach, that may be according to our ability. Not that I'm not really convinced, but I'm going to get on a big television program, convince the whole world. And the announcer asks, well, or the interviewer, what is the Hare Krishna movement? And you say, well, I don't really know, but I think it's good. I'm not really so sure. But I think everyone should take it. Everyone should surrender. Well, what about you? Well, I haven't really read the books very much, but I'm sure, it won't be very convincing. So we should preach according to our level of conviction, but we should do some preaching. And if we can't preach directly ourselves, at least we should assist the preachers. So something should be there. If we go on the street and we try and sell a book, and we have no idea how to sell a book, then we get discouraged. We're not convinced I should be here. We're wondering, why am I here? We don't know how to do when I'm here. So we have no experience or knowledge, and we're not really convinced we should be there. So therefore, we'll get discouraged. So we should try to do something where we'll become encouraged rather than discouraged in our preaching. We can give a book to a friend. At least if we can't convince our friends, we don't feel secure telling our friends, then maybe we should find other friends. Something should be there. We should allow Krishna to act through us as an instrument. Then we'll get developed confidence that Krishna is acting. He is using this body, my mind, my intelligence as his instrument. Then we'll become more convinced that I should surrender more, let Krishna act more. Don't get in the way. Get in the way less. Anything else? Yes.
What is the most important thing to remember in preaching?
Krishna. What else is there to remember? We remember Krishna, then hopefully we'll remember, then everything else will be remembered too. You water the root of the tree, then everything else comes. We forget why we're there, we forget seeing things in relation to Krishna, that it doesn't matter what else we remember. It won't be so beneficial. But basically, you should remember that I'm here because Krishna wants me to be here, and I'm doing this activity to please him. And then whatever knowledge we have, Krishna will help remind us. Anything else? Okay. Grantaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Over Premanandaya.